Welcome, tavern dwellers and grog guzzlers, to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of friends who play published adventures, then review them in a postmortem. We also invite other podcasts, content creators, and other RPG celebrities as special guest PCs to join in on the fun. Howdy, everyone. This is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as StuntMonkeyZ on Twitter. For this one-shot, we're playing through Dragon's Breath Tavern, written by Jeff C. Stevens. An adventure about a group of travelers who stop by the local tavern where things get a little hairy at night. Dragon's Breath Tavern is a level 3-5 adventure and is available on DM's Guild. Our special guest PC is a local RPG hero, the greatest podcast producer this side of the Trinity River, Miss Brianna Jean. And don't forget to click the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast ear candy, follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and tell your friends about us. And now, get your rounds of ale ordered, tip your waitress, and enjoy the band as we listen to Dragon's Breath Tavern by Jeff C. Stevens.
Hello.
Howdy. Hello. Brianna, we have you as our special guest for tonight. Before we begin, I wanted to talk a little bit about your projects.
I have quite a few. The one that I currently have going is I'm the host and producer of Tales of Adventure, an in-character TTRPG character interview show, which is so much fun.
I have a character for you to interview.
Yes!
Oh my god.
I mean, it's just, I'm never going to run out of stuff for that one. And I'm working on another one that's less of a someone wandering around and more of a someone going around intentionally recruiting a certain type of character called the League of Extraordinary Villains.
Oh, nice.
Where I want to focus on doing villain interviews. I'm still working out the details of that one. And I'm currently, as in like, going to start recording soon. Don't know when I'm going to start publishing quite yet. Going to be running a show using the Esper Genesis system following a group of female space pirates.
Hell yes. Hell yes. I'm all for the Genesis system.
So the reason I went with this one is I was looking at other systems. I knew I wanted to do female space pirates. Mm-hmm. I went with Esper Genesis because it's basically D&D but for space.
Even better.
So I'm familiar with how the stuff works. A lot of it's renamed. There are some differences, but it's the core mechanics I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I won't be completely lost as it's my first time DMing anything.
Oh, right on. Heck yeah.
Also, I invited one of my DMs to be a character. One of the things she said in our first like group conversation is, you do realize this is mutually assured destruction. If you ruin my character, I will obliterate yours. I'm like, that's fair.
Song of the Storm.
I'm liking this already.
She's a Tabaxi Storm Herald Barbarian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was just like playing around with this idea, and the second I heard plus two strength, I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah, so because, you know, we have a special guest, I decided to boost up the character.
And I adore her.
And just like Han Solo, I made a lot of special modifications myself. So instead of just a regular Tabaxi, the Tabaxi is now a saber-toothed tiger Tabaxi.
She's very feisty.
Yeah.
So for my character's name, I just, like, I looked up naming conventions and my brain's like, Song of the Storm. I'm like, that's great.
Perfect.
But what if she goes by a different name when she's doing her arena fighting? Because it's not necessarily what she wants to be famous for. She's just good at it and it makes a lot of money. So that's where Sasha Stormfire came from.
I like it.
I like it.
So in the arena fighting circles, she's Sasha Stormfire. Anywhere else, she's looking to make a name for herself as Song of the Storm. I have way too much fun with character backgrounds. Also, my little mohawk has like floofed up.
Oh, you have a mohawk on yours?
Yes. I have a mohawk, and whenever Sasha gets angry, she just floofs.
Right on.
Just with the Storm Herald, her thing is lightning. So when she gets angry, it starts floofing. But it goes like full on time.
Hell yes.
So right now she just vaguely looks like a cockatiel with her hair.
Cockatiel cat.
Love it. Love it. So since we're revealing our characters now, let's go around the room real quick. Yeah, we keep things as uniform as possible just because we go through so many different characters per episode. And for the most part, I mean, we stay true to the form. However, this time around, I had somebody approach me say, hey, I created these different classes. Would you be interested? I'm going, well, it is published content, and we do review published content. So Alex is doing me a favor by being my guinea pig for the Slayer class. So we're going to find out how that goes.
Okay.
And with that, Tom Araya, tell us about your guy.
All right. So this is a new class that I'm trying out. So if I go a little slow with it during play, just bear with me because I'm still trying to get it all down. So I'm a Slayer class of the specialty of ninja. And my name is Tom Araya. I am the typical ninja wearing all black, face covered except for the eyes, and two swords, longbow, and I'm really into poisoning people. Kind of my thing.
And I'm sorry, what race was it, did you say?
I'm sorry, an elf.
Elf.
Yeah, I'm an elf.
Elfing it up.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I like to hide in the shadows and poison people. And just in case anybody's wondering, I got my name. My name is the bassist from the band Slayer. Everybody forgets the bassist is there, even though he's always there.
I actually have a +5 to stealth, so I'm an oddly sneaky barbarian.
I don't know what my plus, what is mine? Where is it? It's way down the bottom. Mine's only +10.
Oh, that's it.
Just +10.
Yeah,
I think someone cheated his numbers a little bit.
Well, it may be skewed because this class is not built into D&D Beyond, so I've been really trying to play with the sheet to get it to work right.
Let's go with Store Vanguard.
Yeah, I'm Store Vanguard. I am a human mage knight, another one of the new class variants. I actually really love this variant.
Hold on. Before you get into that, what race did you say you were?
Human.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't decide, so I just ended up going with a human. Gave me a good all-around set of stats, because it took me forever to decide which of the fighting styles I was going to pick.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up going with Aegis.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that. So.
And that's the type of cruiser that I was on in the Navy.
Nice.
CG-50, right?
CG-50, baby.
The Valley Forge.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. I shouldn't say fighting styles. It was the Mage Knight traditions.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you guys handle each other, because this is going to be a doozy tonight. I'm pretty excited about this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so with that, your travels the last few days have been anything but enjoyable. The road you've been traveling is nothing but dirt and dust. The insects from the surrounding forest have been more than bothersome. Let's see, everybody roll a
d12. 12 for Store.
5 for Sasha. I'll just kill her Sasha because it's shorter.
I'm got a 3.
Okay, that's how many hit points you are down. Times 2.
Ow.
Yeah, so Store, that's 24 to you, right?
Yeah. Damn, roll high. Shit.
Everyone's grown tired from sleeping on the ground. As the daylight begins to fade, you come upon a small town. See, Lenny, give me a name of a town.
Battlebrush.
Okay, so then you see a sign that says, Welcome to Battlebrush. Is it beautifully scrolled on a wooden sign just before you enter the town? The buildings look a little run down, except for one. A sign dangles above the door. It reads, Dragon's Breath Tavern. And the sounds of laughter, the aroma of grilled meat, and the faint whiff of ale tempt you to the entrance. What do y'all want to do?
Oh, thank goodness, civilization.
I say we go in, get some rest, get out of this heat, and get some food and ale in us.
So yes, I think we should go inside and get some rest and some food.
Okay, everybody is walking towards the front entrance, and an old wrinkly woman smokes a pipe and rocks slowly in a fancy wooden rocking chair on the front porch of the tavern. Her full-length blue dress ends just above her ankles, exposing her withered and gnarled feet. She takes a long pull from her pipe, exhales, and says in a dry and raspy voice,
Looking for some fun, or maybe a little relaxation? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Dragon's Breath Tavern.
She then taps out her pipe, drops it in a partially torn and tobacco-stained pocket, stands and says,
You kids go have some fun.
It's Mama's nap time. And then she enters the tavern.
Strange old lady. I say that after she's inside, not while she's still there.
Okay, so the scent of delicious food hangs in the air. You can hear the music filling in the room, and you can tell by the sounds that the patron mood is jovial.
Tom always wants to stay in a position where he could immediately drift into some shadows or stay hidden.
Tasha knows she could probably take just on anything that picks a fight with her, so she just walks right up to the bar.
I'll head up to the bar as well, just to get an ale and some food.
Okie dokie. So what you see in the general area, you see the performers off to the side. You see the bar in front of you. And we see at the bar, a burly looking human stands behind the bar, wiping down finely crafted glass mugs with a cloth. He wears a tidy brown shirt with matching pants and his shorts. Black hair is slicked back tight to his head. Greetings, travelers. Welcome to Dragon's Breath Tavern. What may I do for you today? He says with a deep and eloquent voice.
I'll have two ales, and I don't know what they want.
I'm going to have an ale and something to eat.
Oh, yeah, food. Food's good, too.
Okay, absolutely. How about our house special? One gold piece for the night, and that'll include the room rental as well as a free meal and a bottomless mug for one person.
I can handle that.
Excellent. And so they plate up a free meal for you. He pours you the bottomless mug, and y'all are good. What do y'all want to do?
Sasha immediately downs half of it.
And store?
I'm just going to start drinking my ale, and kind of once the food gets there, just devour that.
Okay. And Tom, in the meantime, while they're doing this, what are you doing?
I'm surveying the room to see who all is there, see if anybody could be a threat to us.
So as you survey the room, give me a quick perception check.
I can do that. 14, 15.
With the 15, you see five performers. A troupe performs on the stage. They play fun music and sing. You also see a husky dwarf, you know, has armor on and everything, sitting by himself. You can tell he's three sheets to the wind for sure. You've seen that look before. You see a gaming table. Everyone's playing demon dice. You recognize the game. You've seen it in the area quite a bit. At the gaming table, you see this one swashbuckler looking character, and he's boasting quite a bit. There's a couple of young ladies standing by his side. You see that they cheer him on and provide him the attention that his ego requires, and that is about it.
Okay, after I see all that, I go to the table and sit down.
So, all right, you finish the first round of drinks, and Tom hasn't drank anything yet.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, also, Sasha, just kind of out of habit, is going to keep an eye out for anyone who might want to try and pick a fight with her, because since she's big, that happens a lot.
Okay, roll a perception check.
Okay. Oh, boy. 24.
Damn. Okay. With a 24, you don't see an immediate threat to you, but you can feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. You didn't recognize it before, but you recognize it now. There's a table closest to the entry. There's this single person sitting there. You can definitely tell it's a female, and she's not really focused on you, but you can tell she's focusing on something. You're just not sure quite yet. On top of that, you also detect immediately that husky-looking dwarf clad in plate mail. He leans back in his chair and drinks from a mug. His big booted feet are propped up on the table, and the waitress walks out to him to politely ask him a question, but you can't hear exactly what she asks. A scowl suddenly forms on the dwarf's face. He slams his mug down on the table, stands from the chair, and says, "No, everything is not to my liking. I think you're skimping on the amount of rum you're putting in my grog." At this point, the waitress places a hand on her chest. She quietly attempts to appease the dwarf, but again, you know, he goes, "Nonsense," he says loudly. "I know grog, and I know when it's getting thinned."
Sasha's just going to walk up to where she's standing behind the wife, just cross her arms and like flex and be like, "Do we have a problem here?" Glaring down the dwarf.
Okay, are you gonna roll intimidation?
Yeah, sure. It's 14. And she's like showing off her like heavily tattooed arms, because she's got all the tribal tattoos, just both from her tribe and from Storm Herald stuff.
Yeah, sorry, I was in the middle of a sneeze. I had to mute my mic. Okay, so he rolled a 12, and immediately sensing that you're a threat, he then reaches over for his sword. And as soon as he does that, you feel a carefully placed hand on your shoulder. Yeah, I see this figure appear right there next to you, in a sense that you didn't sense him coming because you were in the middle of intimidating this guy. You see this guy. He's impeccably dressed in a black satin long coat over a frilly poet's shirt, tan leather pants, black knee-high boots. His blonde hair is pulled back in a tight ponytail and moves with the grace of a cat as he glides over to the confrontation. The man in black reaches the table and says in a loud yet comforting voice, "Mr. Pritch Redbeer, correct? I could not help but overhear your dissatisfaction with the product you are served. Please take comfort knowing that we take great care in measuring our cocktails. But to appease you, I will ask that you and the rest of the patrons be served our finest rum this evening." The dwarf appears taken aback by the man's words, but satisfied that his concerns have been addressed. The man in black claps his hands twice and says, "Mitchy." Before the man ends his word, a gnome dressed very much like the man in black appears from behind the bar with a bottle in his hand.
"Yes, Baron, I have it here,"
says the gnome anxiously as he hands the bottle to the dwarf. The man in black puts a hand on Pritch's shoulder and says, "Please, accept this gift as our apology. It is the finest rum in the area." He then pivots and glides back to the doors behind the bar. The gnome follows.
Sasha's gonna kind of turn her focus towards the main male right there. She's like relaxing her stance, but still being kind of protective.
Yes, thank you. I gotta get back to work. And she just hustles out of there real quick.
I wonder who that was.
I kind of shoot him another look and then go back to my seat.
Alrighty.
I don't want to pick a fight. I just wanted him to stop being a little jerk. I'm not above picking a fight.
So then you see the table while the gambling is going on is getting a little bit more rowdier and rowdier. A cute young woman dressed in a long black skirt and red blouse walks up to your table. "Well met, travelers. My name is Glenna and I'll be serving you today. If you're hungry, the special of the day is grilled beef, roast sweet potatoes, corn on the cob, a slice of spicy cornbread, and a beverage of your choice. All of this for a mere one gold piece. In addition, dinner is free for one individual if your party booked a room for the night. But enough with the talk of food. Party adventurers such as yourselves would most certainly require a refreshment, yes? Would you be interested in our bottomless mug special?" She says and gives you a wink.
"I believe we already purchased that."
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. As she's talking to you, you guys notice that two men come out from behind the bar and they walk up to the main entrance and close and lock the two large wooden doors.
Immediately wants to hide.
All right.
Hold on. You said they came from behind the bar?
Behind the bar. Yeah. Yeah, behind the bar.
My claws are flexing just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching them very intently.
Okay. And they, again, lock everything and they start heading back to the door that goes behind the bar.
"Do you normally lock all of your guests in here?" She's saying that like quietly, so only the people at the table and the server can hear.
Yeah, you hear the waitress, you hear Glenna say, "You certainly must know of the many horrors that lurk in the night. This is only a precaution. Safety comes first, you know, especially for our patrons."
Tom comes out of the shadows and goes, "What happens? What happens out in the night?"
"Strangers, you say?" Fosh, she's just grinning.
"We are new to this area. Our first time here. What dangers can you tell us of?"
"Oh, only the dangers that are lurking out there on a regular night like this. You know, just ghouls and monsters and monstrosities of all sorts. All sorts, all sorts."
"You have that many monsters wandering around and no one's done anything about it."
"But is it, again, just a precaution?"
"It's strange."
"You're more than welcome to leave if you like."
"How long has this been going on?"
"For quite some time now. If you'd like, you could also retire to your room right now for the night if you prefer."
Sasha just kind of looks to the rest of the group.
"I'd like to eat first and then retire to get some rest."
As soon as you do, you hear from the rambunctious dwarf, "What do you mean? Sending me to bed? I've only started having a good time. Bring me more grog." And at that point, you see him getting angrier and angrier, and you can tell that the staff member helping him out is trying to get him to leave, you know, to get going. You see this guy, Pritch, in the drunken stupor, stand up and belts the staff member in the chest. Now, let me see. Everybody roll a perception check.
I got one of them.
Wasn't that 20 then?
14.
6.
Plus 5 health.
All right, so 20, 29 total with a natural 20.
It's still a 20. You don't have to brag about the rest, dude. It's okay, man.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, so with those rolls, y'all are very hardy adventurers, and you know that a punch like that would level a regular commoner, just regular person. That would have ended their day very quickly. But the staff member just looks at the punch, looks at this guy, and immediately, without hesitation, converts into a werewolf and begins attacking the dwarf.
Well, then.
At the same time, Glenna and the other staff members, all of them, look at one another in shock. Then they look at all of you, and immediately they turn into werewolves, too. Let's roll for some initiative.
It'd be one of those kinds of nights.
The entire staff just, boom, werewolves.
Who'd have thought? I had no idea this was going to happen, guys. I swear.
14 for store.
All right, Sasha, what you get?
18.
18.
23.
Sasha's gone from I want to pound this dwarf into the ground to holy crap, there's werewolves. Just you see her eyes go really wide. You know, like with shocked cat eyes, or just like the slits just get real round.
The werewolves, are they focusing on whoever's in front of them, or are they all focusing on this dwarf?
They're focusing on whoever's in front of them. And so with that, go ahead.
Based on the shock, the fact that like all the staff members looked shocked and then turned into werewolves, I feel like this was a willing thing.
This wasn't a willing thing?
Yeah, the fact that, well, they looked shocked and then they turned into werewolves.
Got it.
So
okay.
I'm just like, did they mean to do this or did this just kind of happen?
All right, so let's find out. With that, Tom, you have the floor.
All right, well, I was already in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So with my bonus action, I'm going to dip one of my arrows into some poison, and then I'm going to knock the arrow in my longbow and stay hidden in the shadows and hold my action to see how this plays out.
Okay, so you're going to hold your action. What action are you going to take?
Oh, it'll be an attack with the longbow.
Okay, cool.
It'll happen when I figure out what side I'm on.
Gotcha.
Like, I guess that's why I'm holding my attack, is I don't really like the dwarf, but I'm not really on anybody's side right now. So if one of them attacks one of my party members, that's who I'm going to attack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Basically, hey, do we need to knock these guys out or do we need to kill them?
Correct.
What's going on?
Let's see. So at that point, the band that's playing, they remain as human form and immediately strike up a song that's hopping and fast and like a party, almost like a rambunctious Irish folk song kicking in. So immediately you see this dwarven guy try to attack again, desperation. The werewolf strikes back at him. Next up, Sasha.
So I think what she's going to do is, like, she'll try and move to where she's in front of whichever party member's nearest to her, like, step between them and the werewolf. But I think she's also going to hold a claw attack until one of the werewolves makes a move towards a party member.
Oh, okay. So you're holding your turn also?
Yeah, but, like, the claws are out. She's ready to go if she needs to.
Alrighty, so next up, Store.
Wow, still rolled higher than all everyone else, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, the werewolves rolled really shitty, so...
Oh, too bad for them.
All right, I'm going to... how far is the werewolf?
Less than 5 feet, if not 5 feet.
All right, so I'm going to cast Firebolt.
Okay.
And that would be a 16.
That hits.
All right. 2d for 7 points of fire damage.
Okay.
And my second attack is going to be with my battle axe for a 21.
So what's the total on that?
So 21 hits. It's going to be 9 points with the battle axe.
Okay, so 9 points. And what was the other one you said? 7?
Yes. 7 points of fire damage.
Okay. And you hear the werewolf go, oh, shit. Next up, you see the werewolf standing in front of Pritch lash out. And that's him really good with a double attack with its claws, trying to get in close to him. Ooh. Damn. Okay, so Pritch is drunk. He's able to move out of the first one just because of his reaction, but he catches the second attack. There's another werewolf that assists. That werewolf misses with the first attack. Oh, and pelts him on the second one. Okay, so now you're seeing this clock just come across his face. You see the rips through his beard. Next up is the waitress in front of you, and she immediately goes after the store who drew first blood.
It's on. So, wait, she's going after him, and do I get attacked before she attacks him, since I was holding until someone made a move?
You sure can.
I'm going to do 2 claw attacks to the face.
God dang. Okay, go for it.
That's not great.
What happened?
I don't know what my attack bonus is for that, but I rolled the 4, so that misses.
14.
I heard 14.
Sorry, hey, I got bad audio here. 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard it. Did y'all hear, guys?
Yep. 14.
Yeah, 14. And then you still got your attack bonus, whatever that was on top of that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the attack bonus is for the...
Plus four.
At least.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So, in that case, it was 214, so both attacks will hit.
All right. So describe your attacks here.
I'm just like claws out, smacking her in the face.
So straight up a cat on a dog. Got it.
Yes. It's like, your fight isn't with him. You attack me. So the first one is 6. Second one is also 6 points of damage. So it's 12.
Damn. Okay. And
if that doesn't kill the werewolf, then I'm going to take my attacks.
Okay.
Because you were also holding for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So that happens. And that is enough to throw her off her own attack, which was a 17, but I'm going to have to roll it at disadvantage. I think that second one was an 18.
It would still miss.
It would still miss. Yeah. Tom, describe your attack.
All right. Well, I've got the longbow cocked ready to go, and I see the werewolf going to make an attack. I let it fly. Rolled a 17 on my first attack, plus 7, so 24.
That barely hits.
Okay, that'll be 1d8 plus 4. D8. Right, so my first attack is...
Wait, that was your first attack, man?
Oh, yeah, I get 3 attacks on this dude.
God. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so my first one was 7 plus the poison damage is 1d4, is 3, so 10 on the first attack. Roll for my second attack.
You don't mess with our party.
No, absolutely not. I'm glad no one else showed up for this. Jeez Louise.
17. 17 hit?
Yeah, 17 hits.
Okay, and that is 11 more points of damage. And then the third attack, 22 to hit, another 1d4.
Okay.
And that is an 11, so 11 more points. So 22, 33 points of damage.
Damn!
So with the Slayer class, since I was in hiding, once per turn, when you use the action to attack the target of your Slayer's focus, that creature has been taken a turn. The combat or is unaware of your attack, which is unaware of my attack. I can make an additional weapon attack against the same creature as part of the same action. And my character has 2 attacks. Whew. I'm ambushed. That
nice.
Okay. And
then I want to use my movement to move to a different spot, not try to hide again on my next turn.
Okay.
How many werewolves are in the room with us?
I'll say this. You know, for the sake of story, there's 4. But all around, you see different patrons with different werewolves, and they're all fighting amongst each other.
Okay. Just debating on if rage is worth it or if I should just claw them to death.
Oh, okay. Again, totally up to you. So then next up is Pritch. You know, Pritch is drunk off his gourd, and he just starts laughing hysterically, and he cleaves the werewolf that's in front of him, or goes to cleave him, and contacts for this guy. Whoa. He hits that werewolf hard. The werewolf goes down and is knocked prone with this ginormous battle axe wedged in its shoulder. And then from behind it, you see the last werewolf attacking Pritch. And as he goes to make an attack, y'all see this arrow thwip between all of you and pelts that werewolf, barely missing Pritch. And top of the order, it is now Tom's turn.
Right, Tom, there's still one attacking Pritch. I'm going to let 2 arrows go at the closest one attacking him.
Okay.
First roll, man, I am on it today. It's 23. Second roll is not a 20. It's a 12. Does a 12 hit?
12 hits.
First one did 11 points of damage. Second one did 12. So a total of 23 points.
Okay. Damn. Okay. All right. And that one is spun around for rather quickly. And next up is Sasha.
All right. How's the poor idiot who tried to attack my friend? How are they looking?
Looking pretty bloody. You can tell that it's having a hell of a day. And yeah, it's bleeding out of every cut, gash, and everything that y'all have done to it. Breathing its last breath, but still has breath in it nonetheless.
Okay, she's gonna be like, let me put you out of your misery. And going to hack at the swing of its neck with a longsword.
Alrighty. And what kind of longsword is it?
The flame tongue longsword.
Very cool.
I haven't lit it on fire yet.
Oh, okay.
But dang, why do I never remember to write down the attack bonus?
What was the attack?
15.
That hits.
Okay, in that case, it's 1d8 plus 4. So that would be 10. She's just going straight for the neck.
All right, describe how you kill her.
She's going to chop the head off, and she's just grinning while she does it. Just arcing sleep and whack, decapitates it on the floor.
The head goes flying off, and then it returns to its human form, which is the woman that was serving y'all.
Is that normal for werewolves when you kill them?
It is in this game right now.
Okay, good. Yeah. Just like, is that a sign that this wasn't actually a werewolf?
I think we're safe.
Is there anyone else nearby that I can attack?
Sure. The one that's over there with Pritch.
All right, I'm gonna run over and also attack with the longsword. She's starting to giggle. That was a 10.
Let's see, total?
What's your strength bonus?
My strength is plus 4.
Okay, with that strength bonus, I'm gonna say that you didn't run over there, you leapt.
Yeah, I've also got a pretty good dexterity, so I just like... The cat pounce.
There you go.
Just like cat pounce, land, swing with the sword.
Yeah, I think with a saber-toothed tiger, that is totally possible.
And I'm kind of picturing as like, you know, when like a pitcher, like baseball?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like a baseball bat to take the head off of the one that, off of this one.
Alrighty, roll it.
Alright, so... Heck yeah, that was also a 10.
Did you say heck yeah?
I get it. Awesome.
No.
Plus seven. Don't forget to add your attack bonus.
Yeah. So that would be 17 damage.
Oof.
In my defense, I usually play spellcasters.
Oh, no worries.
I'm not used to, like, actually hitting things in a fighting class.
And with that, you bring that werewolf down prone with this big old monster of a longsword. Like, you just cleave it, and it's enough force to bring that sucker down. They are not used to having a tabaxi with your strength in this place.
And she's just, like, grinning. You can see, like, all of her, like, real sharp teeth. She's like, yes. Oh, I've missed being in a good fight.
Next up is Thor.
All right, so are there any werewolves that are not engaged or not kind of starting to overwhelm? Because it looks like these two are well handled.
You see a couple of werewolves headed over towards the entertainers playing the music.
All right, there's two of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means there's five werewolves. All right, so I'm going to take and smack the closest one to me with a firebolt.
Okay.
All right, that would be a 20, dirty.
20, 30?
No, a dirty 20. I said 20. I didn't want you to think it was natural, so sorry. All right, and that's going to 18.
Describe how you kill him.
So I cast Firebolt and just go to light it up, so it just bursts into flames.
All right, and everybody has a hint of burning fur in their nostrils.
Sasha just kind of like, she wrinkles her nose for a second, like, not pleasant.
Sorry. The other one that's still standing there. So I'm just use my second attack on it with the battle axe. And that would be another dirty 20. That one's only 11 points of damage with the battle axe.
Okay. You hit them with the battle axe. It's enough to make them roll over to the bar. And it freaks out seeing that you stepped in behalf of the band. And so it reaches for something behind the bar and pulls out this mace. And you can see immediately on the handle it says smiting. And tries to attack you.
I almost picked that. I was torn between that and the flame tongue, and I asked some D&D friends, and that resulted in the picture I sent one of you.
That was an awesome pick.
It's the worst. It is a mace covered in tongues that is also can be lit on fire.
Flame tongue. All right, so that's 15 to hit.
You miss.
Okay. And as this werewolf misses, the mace flies out of its hands and lands in front of Sasha.
I get the chance. I'm picking it up. They ain't getting it back.
And next up is the werewolf near Pritch. It uses its action. It's movement to stand back up. Tries to lash at this guy one more time. And connects. Slashes at Pritch and tries to go to bite him, and immediately the teeth clank on his armor, and Pritch is barely hanging in there now. Next up is the other werewolf that you cleaved, Sasha. It tries to slash at Pritch's leg and does with its claw, bringing Pritch down, and it does another attack and connects to Pritch, and he starts bleeding out very quickly. Next up is another werewolf coming from behind the bar. It lunges at Sasha, and again, y'all see another arrow come out from the opposite side of the room, past all of you, pelts that werewolf, and sends it flying, pegged up against the wall now.
I feel like I have special plot armor right now.
And very quickly, everyone begins to see that all of y'all are holding your own with these werewolves. The rest of the werewolves are slowly getting killed off, and even their attackers are dying as well. It's kind of an even fight. In the end, a few of the werewolves immediately fly back into the back of the bar, and the only ones left still in the room at this point is the band playing, which as soon as the action dies down, they stop playing and look around nervously at the three of you.
You're not werewolves, are you?
Us? No, ma'am. We are not.
How often does this happen?
They're all in utter shock.
Is this a normal thing here?
What have you done? One of them pipes up that they'll kill our families.
Who will?
What's going on here? And plus, they can't kill your families if we kill them first.
The Baron, he's keeping our families in the cavern under the tavern. He uses this tavern to trap people and keeps them somewhere here under the tavern, but we don't know any more than that.
Where can we find him?
I don't know. We just know that there's a rumor of an old tunnel system below the tavern. That's all we know. We swear.
Tom goes around and picks up all the arrows that he shot.
Okay.
I'm grabbing that mace if I'm allowed to.
You certainly are, and you can keep it in your inventory, so now you have a mace of smiting.
So all the werewolves are gone, even the ones that we wounded severely.
Yeah, they all hightailed it out of there.
I tailed it. I get it.
Where the arrows come from, we're able to figure that out. Like, who else was shooting arrows?
Let me see. Can you do an investigation check or a perception check?
Which one do you want?
Dealer's choice.
Investigations plus 6. I rolled a 17, so 23.
23. You look around over your shoulder and you notice that woman that was sitting at the table by herself. She has a bow drawn at the three of you and just quickly says, "Are you hero or enemy?"
Friend.
That's not what I asked. And lets one of the arrows fly right by your head. Draws another bow at that same time.
So hero then.
All right, that's what I thought. And she puts her bow down.
Bitch.
I heard that.
I mean, we did just stop a bunch of werewolves from eating most of your customers.
This isn't my place, and I actually saved a bunch of y'all just now.
Appreciated.
I was about to thank you.
You can thank me later. All I'm here for is the Baron.
Fair enough.
So as y'all are in the middle of a conversation, you hear from below a couple of werewolf bodies, "Son of a bitch!" And you hear the swashbuckler gambler guy just push the corpses off of them. I was having a hot hand, goddammit.
So clear the table, take your chips.
Sure, but I mean, I was about to bet the farm, man. All I got is like just this little bit left here. All I got is 500 gold pieces. Come on, man.
Priorities, friend, priorities.
Are there any other dead bodies in the place?
Yeah, there's tons of dead bodies everywhere.
All right, I'm going to start looting them.
All right, you get
I'm
about...
I'm also looting.
Anyone know how to heal?
Sasha just kind of looks at you and then goes back to looting corpses.
All right. So it looks like everybody just reached level 7 at this point.
Deal.
Nice.
Man.
That's a 2-level jump. Here we go.
Yeah.
That's a heck yeah.
I'll take that. That adds a... That's awesome.
That adds some hit points.
Yes, it does.
I have advantage on initiative.
Hell yeah.
I've never played a barbarian. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fun.
All right, so let's see. We're going to put this on the rails for a little bit, seeing as what the time is. So everybody roll a very quick investigation check.
And do.
17, I was doing math.
17, okay. With a 17, you find a hidden passageway behind the bar where all the guest rooms at. Well, it looks like a closet. And upon further examination, you notice that there's a hidden door at the back wall that leads down.
I think I found where the bastard takes the people. Should we follow?
Yes, let's do that.
I don't know who he is. All I know is I want to see what his insides look like.
God damn.
I like her.
She's like, this dude's a jerk. I kind of want to wreck him.
So in that room, I have this whole numbering system. Everybody roll me a D10.
6.
80.
8 as well.
Okay.
A little Adiago coming out there, sir.
No, it works. It works. So what I have here is those maps, and they each have a correlating number. So all you're really doing is rolling for the encounter that we're about to go through. That way it saves us time instead of having to go through each different level, which, again, that also leaves a little bit of a hint for anyone playing through this adventure later on. If they choose to buy this, I'm leaving stuff for them to still explore without exploiting the whole thing.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Thank you. Thank you. And really, if you're going to play through this adventure, like, as I want to leave stuff on there that people can still explore as well. So this helps everybody out. All right. So 6, you found a restroom. It's made up of 2 large buckets covered by a long wooden plank. The buckets are currently half full. The smell is bothersome, but tolerable.
The ghosts.
Yes. Yes, it is. Right before that, looks like you walked into a room that looks like the waitstaff's quarters. The waitstaff and entertainers live there. Several straw beds fill the room, and a few unlocked wooden chests are easily seen. It's currently empty. And just real quick, everyone finds 35 copper pieces, several sets of clothing, and let's see here. Sasha, give me an investigation check.
Okay. That would be an 8. You just hear oversized cat sneezing.
Gotcha. So you're saying that's an 18. Got it. So you see a silver dagger hidden under one of the mattresses.
This is nice. Anyone looking for a new dagger?
That'll come in handy for werewolves.
Yeah, keep it or I'll take it.
Is anyone here better with daggers?
I probably am.
Here, you can take this. This sword here lights on fire.
Thank you.
Gotta have this new mace.
Silver daggers are good. They're antimicrobial.
Yeah, let's see. Tom, roll me a dexterity save throw.
Man. All right.
I'm throwing it at him.
At a 19.
Well, in that case, yes, I do throw it at him. Like, very gently, just like a sort of like a little toss.
And snatch it out of the air.
Yeah, so you hand it to him, but then Tom wasn't ready to just take it, and so he kind of fumbles a little bit in his hand and catches it before making a noise. Ooh, that could have been bad. So then, okay, with 8, you see a wooden door hanging on rusty hinges all the way down the hallway from whence y'all came. No lock can be seen, but a thick timber bars the front.
It's barred from our side.
Are those the only doors that we can see?
Yeah, well, there's some other doors over to the left as well down this long hallway, but we're bypassing all that right now and just kind of moving the story forward. Yeah, again, got to leave a little bit of stuff for the listeners.
Okay, so we figure the barred doors are way forward and the bars on this side, right?
Correct.
Why are the bars on this side?
To keep people from getting out, I say as I walk up. And actually, anyone good at figuring out if this is going to explode or anything if I try to open it?
Do an investigation check.
I'll help her out with that.
Anybody want to do it? I'll help her out.
Natural 20.
Oh, and you detect no booby traps whatsoever. It's a clean door. Obviously, this is just barred for some kind of safety precaution that you are not currently aware of.
That's what concerns me, because if we came down here, what is this keeping out? Or it's probably keeping something in.
They did tell us that he's keeping people down here. Hostages aren't all that valuable when they escape.
This is very true.
Plus, chances are anything that's too bad's probably outside, or we can beat the crap out of it in the hallway.
Right, let's do it. Tom wants to go into stealth mode and hiding and get an arrow ready.
You're in a hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll for stealth.
Okay.
At disadvantage.
Hey, the first one was a 28.
And the next one's a 30. Got it.
How did you know? 23.
Can store stand wherever the door opens? Like, whatever would attack would hit me first?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of basically take the first shock.
Be at the crack of the door?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So I got my shield at the ready, kind of prep for whatever is about, in case something wants to kind of attack us.
Works for me. It rushes you. I claw its head off.
As you do that, both Stor and Sasha look behind you, and you don't see Tom, where the fuck he went.
Very sneaky, okay?
Yeah, very, very sneaky.
Every time I take my eyes off of that one, he disappears.
Yeah, but he's always there. We know he's there. He's got our back.
And with that, the swashbuckler's like, all right, let's go. I'm getting hungry. And the other assassin has also disappeared as well. The door creaks and groans as you open it. A musty breeze coughs out of the doorway, and a soft whistling howl
growl can be heard from deep within the stairwell.
Sasha grabs her nose so she doesn't sneeze this time.
And, oh, ooh, okay, I'll say this. All of a sudden, a swarm of bats comes storming through as it pushes the rest of the door wide open.
Sasha crouches and hisses and is ready to belt the bat, those little flying rat things out of the sky if they come towards her.
Okay, so it looks like down this corridor, the bats are now out feeding, but the Eckermans create a slippery surface. So they're supposed to be athletics checks and all that fun stuff. All right, so then moving forward, there's also a carrion crawler. Everybody roll me a quick D20, just a flat D20.
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah, I rolled.
Okay, and Sasha, what'd you get?
14.
14.
11.
11. Okay, Sasha, describe how you kill this carrion crawler.
I just stab in the middle and then just kind of pull the sword through to one side.
Damn. You do that, and then there's a carrion crawler, blood spitting ass everywhere, and y'all can... Oh, I tell you what, Tom, roll a an investigation check.
Can do. Got a 7 plus 2 plus 2 more, so 11.
Okay, that's enough. You know that you can harvest some of its poison.
I would know that. I do poison stuff anyway, so I attempt to harvest some poison from it.
Okay, you know that a single dose of this poison is worth 200 gold.
What is it do? Is it just regular old poison?
As far as I'm concerned here, I will say yes for now.
Okay, poison. Cool. I've always wanted to try poison weapons. Not allowed in most fighting rings, though. Whatever.
All right, so y'all move on. You see the remains of, let's see, the tunnel floor begins to creak and crack, snap and pop. You look down and find that you are walking on roughly 6 inches of bone, all of which have been picked clean of any flesh. Just ahead of you, light appears to be slipping through the edges of a doorway.
Yeah, this bastard's gonna die, and he's gonna die very painfully.
Is it daylight, or is it like candle or torchlight?
More like candle or torch.
Okay.
And let's see, for this final area. Okay, everybody roll me a D6.
Six. Well, I hope that's good.
Right. Another toilet. Like, oh, damn.
I hope so, too. I also got a 6. Okay.
Tom rolled a 3.
3. Okay, from there, with a 3, you open the door, and then you come up on this four-walled room. You come across a door where, let's see, to your left, behind a set of metal bars, you see a three-armed, three-legged creature that looks like a boulder with a mouth full of razor-sharp teeth. From around the corner of the room, several silver coins fly up over the cage and into the creature's giant mouth. Its teeth chatter as it chews the small coins. I will say this, everybody knows that it's a Zorn. X-O-R.
Oh, Zorn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, those go way back.
And you notice that two human servants are slowly feeding this guy, tossing coins and other precious items into its cage.
What a waste.
The people feeding him see you. They don't want any trouble, and they share general information about the other rooms right there. Yeah, currently the Zorn is very happy, seeing as it's being fed snacks. So you go through the next door. The room is dark and has a horrid smell. The combined stench of urine, feces, and mildew is nearly overpowering. You hear movement to the back of the room through the dark. Dozens of eyes reflect the light spilling out of the door you just opened.
Lots of cat sneezing going on right now.
And I think Tom at this point has some damn good dark vision.
120 feet.
That is better than mine. I'm only 60. But I have a feeling my eyes are also reflecting any light.
So I think at this point everyone can see 4 women, 7 children, and 1 old man slowly moving towards you. As they move into the light, you can see their skin is so pale that you guess they haven't seen little sunlight for months. They appear to be malnourished and their lips are split from dehydration. A woman, her clothes now tattered and filthy, walks up to you and says... The Baron, is he... Did you kill him?
Not yet. I hand over my water skin.
Okay, now they all die from... No, just kidding. So...
Yeah, Sasha just takes some of her rations and, like, tosses it towards them.
Very cool. You walk into this other door. Burning torches light the room, and you see a large blood-red curtain hanging on the opposite wall. Red stains on the floor and splatters on the wall give you hints that nothing good happens in this room. A woman, the one dressed in black leather armor who was being very attentive in the tavern, stands with a short sword in her right hand and a wood shield in the other. Across from her, on the other side of the room, there's another woman patron from the tavern, holds a spear and looks frightened. In between them stands a hybrid werewolf. You recognize his clothing. It matches those of the barkeep. From behind the curtain, you hear a solitary audience clap, clap, clap. The curtains draw back and reveals the Baron sitting on a red satin throne-like chair. A small white dragon lays on the ground next to him, its green eyes glaring right at you. Impressive, impressive indeed. A few of you will make grand additions to my army. The others will serve as food for my pet, he says, as he reaches for the dragon and strokes its neck. This is too good, he says. This is too good. I have a proposition for you. I'll spare the lady's life if one of you adventurers take her place. The lady is obviously a commoner and will no doubt perish. I'll let you choose which of you fights Sveta, who is obviously the more experienced of the two. Oh, I see. So what's supposed to happen is that assassin chick is going to be the one down here you're fighting. Oh, that's kind of clever. That's cool.
So the one that kind of helped us find this is the one who we're one of us is supposed to fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just added her to the story, I guess, because there was no really quite a direct line of how she can or can't help y'all or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Having her help makes it fun.
Yeah. Alrighty. So how do y'all want to, let me see. You know what? We're going to do this the old fashioned way.
Lady's choice. She likes the arena, right?
Yeah.
That she does, and she can zap people.
I looked to Stormfire. This looks like has you written all over it, unless you wish to forego the honors.
Does anybody know Thieves Cant?
My character sheet says I do, but I shouldn't.
Everyone looks at the shifty rogue.
Yeah. Exactly, because that's what I had to build mine off of was a rogue.
Still looks like you know it.
Yeah, looks like that's legit. So between all of y'all, the woman with the sword starts goading you to fight. Come on, she yells. There must be one of you who's ready to die. I promise I'll make it quick for you. Just a pinch, pull, tug, and a bump, she says as she makes a few strange motions across her chest with her sword hand. And the motions across the chest will indicate to a thief the woman means them no harm as she has a plan.
Someone please point that out to Sasha before she goes into a rage and brutally murders her.
Since I'm the one who sees it, Tom steps forward. I will fight. I will take on this task. Everybody else, just step back and watch. Do not interfere.
Sasha just deflates.
All right, so let's say both of you jump in there at the same time. The woman takes a few steps back, scowls at the both of you, and grunts. She begins to charge, but then changes direction and heads for the Baron. She slips past the unsuspecting werewolf, who swung at her just a second too late. The woman leaps into the air. Her sword draws high, with the point aimed directly at the Baron. From nowhere, a cone of white hail pummels her. Her momentum slows, and she drops to the ground, landing at the feet of the Baron. The dragon, now standing, uses its front leg to wipe excess bits of hail from its toothy maw. It then lays next to the Baron and turns its attention back to you. Very good, sweetie. You've made Daddy very proud. Yes, you have. I'll treat you with two morsels tonight, the dragon smiles. Baron turns his attention to you and says, but I do need a fight. Which of the two of you will please me? I'll let you pick. He gives two quick claps and says, go on, hurry up now.
I've never been one to back down from a fight. Sasha's just smiling really big. She's got her pulled her longsword out, and she's just like, are you brave enough to fight me yourself?
Oh, this bores me. And then the dragon decides to spew out a little bit of extra hail now as well.
I was going to use a spell sunder, so yeah, that's fine.
Okay, what do you want to do?
I have cat-like reflexes.
All right, Tom is going to use Misty Step to teleport himself directly behind the Baron and stab him in the back of the neck with the silver dagger.
Okay.
Sasha's going to set her sword on fire and duck under the ice and take a swing for the dragon.
Alrighty.
Also, I feel like she's gonna rage.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
So her eyes go to pinpricks. Her hair is just standing up on end, and there's a lot of feral yowling going on.
And what's Store doing?
Because I held up my shield to kind of block and was able to absorb some of the cold that was the dragon shot at us. So now I can prevent any further damage of that type with the absorbing shield.
Holy shit, dude. Right on.
That's cool.
And I'm going right after that dragon.
Alrighty. So we're going to keep the same order right now. Tom, you have the floor. I would say roll the attack with advantage since you're sneaking up behind him and getting him right in the neck.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm using the poison that I got from the creature that we just killed.
Ooh, nice. Go for it.
Alright, so first attack. What is that? Man, I gotta go back to my character sheet. All right, sorry.
Dude, we got 5 minutes left, seriously?
I know, jeez, sorry. Okay, I am attacking with the silver dagger that's been dipped. So that's 16 plus 7, 23 to 1d4 plus 4 for damage. All right, I rolled a 1, so 5 for the base damage, and then it's 1d4 poison, which I rolled a 4, so 9 on that attack, and I'm gonna stab again, and that should be all of my actions.
All right, so what was the total damage?
9 for the first stab, and then the second stab. I got an 18. Does that hit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another 1d4 plus 4. And I got a 3 plus 4 is 7. So that's right to the back of the neck.
So 7 total?
On the second one. So 16 total.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
And right. if the dagger penetrates, I'm leaving the dagger in there.
Okay. It does penetrate.
All right. So it's, I don't know. I'm guessing because it has poison on it. I don't know how you want to work that if it does 1d4.
Yeah. Let's subtract that.
Extra ouch.
Yeah.
All right. So plus 1d4. All right. God dang, dude. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Next up is Sasha.
Well, I have set the magic word to light my sword on fire, mm-hmm. and I'm going to, in my signature move, try and take the dragon's head off or like stab it in the throat or do something to make it so it can't really spit fire.
Got it.
All right. So that is an unnatural 20 to hit.
That hits.
All right. So I get 1d8. Then 2d6 plus 4, 16 plus 7, 23?
23 to damage?
Yes.
Holy shit. It is having a very bad day.
And then since I get a second attack, I'm going to stab it again.
Alrighty.
Well, this 24 to hit.
Yes, it does.
And so, ooh, got 8 to be 14.
That's good. That's
27.
Good. How do you fucking kill this thing?
I just
nice.
I just cut its head off.
You do that.
Like stabbing through the neck until it just falls off.
Son of a bitch. It breathes its last breath on everybody, and its head goes rolling. And Store, you have the floor. The only one left is the Baron.
Yep. So we're going to go after the Baron. So I'm going to attack the Baron with two attacks with my battle axe. So first one is going to be a 21.
That hits.
And second one is going to be a 19.
Both hit.
So I'm going to expel two Arcanum points, one for each attack, mm-hmm. so that I can add elemental weapon. I'm going to add 1d6 of fire damage.
5, 8, plus 3, so 9, 8, 16, 19.
19 points plus an additional 6. 2021, 27 points of damage.
All right, how do you kill the Baron?
Just come down with the battle axe, and with the added elemental damage, you see him kind of just burst from fire from the inside as my battle axe strikes through.
God damn. And that is how this story ends.
Holy Sasha's shit. Just giggling.
Congratulations, you have defeated the Baron. I see. Oh, it says here, bless these adventurers that came to our town. They didn't know our faces wore a frown. All they wanted was a drink and a bed, but thankfully the Baron is dead. So these crazy people entered the tavern, not knowing what was to happen.
Obliterated everything.
Dust till dawn.
Yeah, straight up.
That's exactly what I thought of.
Time to rage loot.
In the process, you found out that he is actually just a tool by a vampire trying to recruit more werewolves for the vampire's own aspirations.
That's kind of what I was thinking in the back of my head.
Like, of course, right? Nice. Let's see.
His reaction to us, probably like, oh, anyone fancy vampire hunting?
No.
Not quite yet.
And with that, we have just played through the Dragon's Breath Tavern.
Nice.
Brianna, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit.
This has been a lot of fun. I got to feel excited when I got to expel Sasha.
Yeah, I'm glad we went with Sasha, too.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we got a whole lot of gaming going on just because there were less of us there.
Yeah, more people got more turns.
Yeah, yeah. We got to have you back.
Oh, yeah. I would love to come back. It's fun.
Right on. Well, cool.
To bring these characters back and just have the others kind of join us, and we'll figure out, like, once we leave the tavern or something.
Oh, yeah. There's stuff for here for after the tavern. If you want, I can add in here. Everyone is getting ready to go, and as y'all are leaving town, you notice that the outline of a humanoid standing on the road, the figure will transform into a wolf, howl, and then run into the woods. And on that note, we will close for the night.
Sounds good.
All right. All right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks, you too. Good night.
You too.
Until next time.